Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Description of the Kingdom of God, Text 26. Tad Vishva Guru Vadi Kritam Bhuvane Kavandyam. Divyam Vichitra Viburagriya Vimana Sochihi. Apu paramudam apurvam upetya yoga. Maya balena munayastarato vikuntam. Tad vishva gurvadi kritam bhuvaneka vandyam. Divyam vichitra vibhuragriya vimana sochihi. Apu paramudam apurvam upetya yoga. Maya balena munayastadato vikuntam. Tad vishva gurvadi kritam bhuvane kavandyam. Divyam vichitra vibhuragriya vimana sochihi. Apu paramudam apurvam upetya yoga. Maya balena munayastarato vikuntam. Then, Vishva Guru, by the teacher of the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Adikritam, predominated, Bhuvana, of the planets, Eka, alone, Vandyam, worthy to be worshipped, Divyam, spiritual, Vichitra, highly decorated, Vibhuda Agriya, of the devotees, who are the best of the learned, Vimana, of the airplanes, Sochihi, illuminated, Apahu, attained, Param, the highest, Mudam, happiness, Apurvam, unprecedented, Upetya, having attained, Yoga Maya, by spiritual potency, Balena, by the influence, Munayaha, the sages, Tat, Vaikunta, Ato, that, Vikuntam, Vishnu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So please repeat. Thus the great sages, Samaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sunat Kumara, upon reaching the above mentioned Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, by dint of their mystic yoga performance, perceived unprecedented happiness. They found that the spiritual sky was illuminated by highly decorated airplanes, piloted by the best devotees of Vaikuntha, and was predominated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll read the translation again. Thus the great sages Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumara, upon reaching the above-mentioned Vaikuntha in the spiritual world by dint of their mystic yoga performance, perceived unprecedented happiness. They found that the spiritual sky was illuminated by highly decorated airplanes, piloted by the best devotees of Vaikuntha, and was predominated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second. He is above everyone. No one is equal to him, nor is anyone greater than him. Therefore, he is described here as Vishva Guru. He is the prime living entity of the entire material and spiritual creation, and is Bhuvaneka Vadyam, the only worshipable personality in the three worlds. The airplanes in the spiritual sky are self-illuminated and are piloted by great devotees of the Lord. In other words, in the Vaikuntha planets, there is no scarcity of the things which are available in the material world. They are available, but they are more valuable because they are spiritual and therefore eternal and blissful. The sages felt an unprecedented happiness because Vaikuntha was not predominated by an ordinary man. The Vaikuntha planets are predominated by expansions of Krishna, who are differently named as Madhusudana, Madhava, Narayana, Pradyumna, etc. These transcendental planets are worshipable because the personality of Godhead personally rules them. It is said here that the sages reached the transcendental spiritual sky by dint of their mystic power. That is the perfection of the yoga system, the breathing exercises and disciplines to keep health in proper order are not the ultimate goals of yoga perfection. The yoga system, as generally understood, is Ashtanga Yoga, or Siddhi, Eightfold Perfection in Yoga. By dint of perfection in yoga, one can become lighter than the lightest and heavier than the heaviest. One can go wherever he likes and can achieve opulences as he likes. There are eight such perfections. The rishis, the four kumaras, reached Vaikuntha by becoming lighter than the lightest, and thus passing over the space of the material world. Modern mechanical space vehicles are unsuccessful because they cannot go to the highest region of this material creation, and they certainly cannot enter the spiritual sky. But by perfection of the yoga system, one not only can travel through material space, but can surpass material space and enter the spiritual sky. We learn this fact also from an incident concerning Durvasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish. It is understood that in 1 year, Durvasa Muni traveled everywhere and went into the spiritual sky to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. By present standards, scientists calculate that if one could travel at the speed of light, it would take 40,000 years to reach the highest planet in this material world. But the yoga system can carry one without limitation or difficulty. The word yoga maya is used in this verse. Yoga maya balena vikuntam. The transcendental happiness exhibited in the spiritual world and all other spiritual manifestations there are made possible by the influence of Yoga Maya, the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada starts his purport by saying the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one without a second. He is above everyone. No one is equal to him. It appears here that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is paraphrasing a verse, a Sanskrit verse. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natatshamas cha vidyakas cha drishyate. Especially the second line, Natatsamas cha vidikasta drishyate, no one is equal to or superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna. There are many controllers, but the Supreme Controller is Krishna. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Nobody can give Krishna any duty to perform. All material beings are subject to higher authority. They have duties. They have duties they are instructed to perform. If they perform these duties, they get some good results. If they do not perform the duties assigned to them, then they suffer some punishment. You know, just like, you know, if someone wants to open a shop in the city, you know, they have to get some license from the government and then they have to pay taxes. If they do that, they're allowed to get their profit and run their business. However, if one tries to open a shop without the proper license and without paying the proper taxes, then there are some penalties that will be imposed by the government. So everyone in the material world, every material being, be one a great demigod or an ordinary human being, is predominated by some higher authority. And those higher authorities impose duties upon one. If one fulfills the duties, one gets some good result. If one doesn't fulfill the duties, one gets some bad result. But Krishna is not in that position. No one is his equal. No one is his superior. There is no one that can impose any penalty upon him. There is no one who can give him any reward. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the predominator. And he's especially the predominator in the spiritual world directly. He is the ruler of the Vaikuntha planets. Of course, you know, our Vaishnava Acharyas explain that although he is the Supreme Controller and the Predominator, he can voluntarily agree to come under the control of the love of his pure devotees. But that's another matter. That's a point different than the one Srila Prabhupada is trying to make here. Yes, Krishna can become subordinate to the will of his mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda. He can play as if he is trying to please them by following their instructions. He can pretend to be afraid of the punishment that Mother Yashoda might give. Of course, we're now in the month of Kartik, you know, which is Jai. So we're in the month of Kartik, where we're celebrating actually this aspect of Krishna, how he comes under the control of his, of the love, the pure love of his pure devotees. But really, if we want to analyze things in the proper perspective, he is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And especially in the Vaikuntha planets, he is the predominator. The verse also mentions the manas, or as Srila Prabhupada says, highly decorated airplanes piloted by the best of devotees. So everything we have in this material world is a reflection of a spiritual reality. There are airplanes in the spiritual world, therefore there are airplanes in the material world. But the nature of material things is temporary and imperfect. Therefore, we see that the airplanes of this material world are temporary and imperfect in so many ways. Actually, there are many different categories of vimanas. One category is these Vaikuntha vimanas. And I was looking over a lecture that, a Bhagavatam lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in Melbourne, Australia in 1972. And he was lecturing on a verse that also mentioned these vimanas. And he said, these Vaikuntha vimanas are not mechanical contraptions. You know, when we want to make an airplane, we make some parts, we put them together, we hope they function properly. But he said, these Vaikuntha airplanes are not mechanical contraptions. He said, they are living entities, and they simply take the form of these airplanes because in the spiritual world, everything is personal and spiritual. He also commented that they don't run on any fuel. You know, if we want to fly in one of our airplanes, it has to have fuel, you know, aviation gasoline, or else it won't fly. If there's no fuel, it won't take off the ground. But these Vaikuntha airplanes are not like that. They fly yoga maya balena. You know, by the potency of yoga maya, there's no mechanical arrangement, there's no fuel. So these are the spiritual airplanes. Just like when it was time for Dhruva Maharaj to go to the Dhruva Loka, which is the local Vaikuntha planet, a Vaikuntha planet within this universe sometimes. It was called the Pole Star. So when it was time for him to go, Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, sent one of these Vaikuntha airplanes to take him from this world to Dhruva Loka. And he also sent a plane for his mother, too. But there are other kinds of vimanas within this material world. There are the vimanas of the demigods, for example. And Srila Prabhupada explains that they run on mantras, on sound vibration. And there are many demigods, and they all have their different carriers. There are vimanas. And there are many descriptions of the Srimad Bhagavatam about how the demigods would travel from planet to planet by their demigod vimanas. Sometimes we see that great rishis or sages, they manufacture their own vimanas, like Kardama Muni. Yeah, he manufactured for Devahuti, well, not exactly manufactured, I shouldn't use that word, by his yogic perfection, he was able to manifest. Now, he didn't build a vimana. By his yogic power, his power to use mantras, mystic cities, he manifested a vimana, which he used to travel all over the universe. So that's another type of vimana. Then there are also vimanas manufactured by the demons. Now there's the story in Srimad Bhagavatam of the airplane of Shalva, King Shalva, which was manufactured by Maya Dhanava. Now this may have been manufactured in some way, which also involves mystic power, but it was made of ordinary material elements, but still it had some pretty amazing powers. It could appear to be in two places at once. It would fly around like a butterfly, in ways that we would think would violate the laws of physics. So there are many kinds of vimanas, and then of course they're the kind that we make in this material world. And I should also mention that certain yogis, by their own powers, were able to travel without any vimana, like Durvasa Muni is an example. He didn't travel all over the universe into the spiritual world using a vimana. He simply was using his mystic power. Now, Srila Prabhupada mentions here that by using these mystic powers or vimanas of the demigods or spiritual vimanas, one can go very quickly to very, very distant places. And he points out that the material mechanical spacecraft and aircraft are limited to traveling at a certain speed. It takes them a very long time to go places, whereas in these mystic or spiritual vimanas, one can go practically instantly to the desired destination. But that requires some qualification. Like once, I was on a lecture tour of South India. On one of my free days, the organizers of the lecture tour took me to Tirupati. And normally to get darshan of Balaji at Tirupati, you have to wait in a very, very long line, going long distance, very slowly, till finally your turn comes. But for some reason, because I was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, they decided, well, you can go in some special line and go directly to the front and have your darshan. So, in that way, something that would normally take a very, very long time, I was able to do instantly, by grace of Krishna and Guru. So these You know, Vaikuntha airplanes are like that. They go very, very, very far, but very, very quickly, almost instantaneously, at the speed of the mind. So another topic that Srila Prabhupada discusses here is that the sages felt an unprecedented happiness because Vaikuntha was not predominated by an ordinary man. People in the material world feel unhappy because they live in communities that are predominated by ordinary men. Therefore, they do not experience transcendental happiness. They experience all kinds of material miseries. Of course, if even a community in this world were predominated by a great Vaishnava Rajarshi, or an incarnation of the personality of Godhead like Lord Ram, then, you know, the people would experience some transcendental happiness. But if their society or community is ruled by some ordinary person who is not on that level, then some unhappiness will be experienced. So the sages felt an unprecedented happiness because Vaikuntha Loka was not predominated by an ordinary man. So another topic that Srila Prabhupada discusses in his purport is the yoga system and the yogic siddhis. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, we hear from Yogeshvara, the supreme yogi, the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Yoginam api sarvesham mad gatena taravana shravat bhajateyo mad samayuktatapo mataha. The best yogi is the one who simply worships Krishna with love and devotion. The bhakti yogi, in other words. But this other yoga system is also there. In some ages, it was the recommended process for worshiping the personality of Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada points out that what most people today consider to be the essential part of yoga, maintaining good health and mental stability, is not the ultimate goal of yoga. You know, the ultimate goal of yoga is to transfer oneself to one of the Vaikuntha planets. And in this day and age, that is best achieved by the practice of bhakti yoga. However, in this other yoga system, the Ashtanga yoga system that is being described here, Srila Prabhupada explains that by practicing it perfectly, one can develop mystic siddhis. And he mentions some of the principal ones here. Lagima, becoming lighter than the lightest. Maima, becoming heavier than the heaviest. Yeah, there are eight principal yogic perfections. And the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in his instructions to Uddhava, Lord Krishna explains there are other subsidiary yogic powers, mystic powers. One of them is called Durdarshan. That's the name of the Indian national television network, Doordarshan. But it comes from this mystic power. Actually, many of our modern technologies are simply attempts to recreate with mechanical contrivances mystic powers that many people once had naturally or by practice of the yoga system. Another such mystic power is Doorshravana, the ability to hear at a distance. Now we have radio, things like that. We can hear things that are going on at a distance through some mechanical contrivance. But actually, we've received Bhagavad Gita in part through these mystic powers. If we look at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we see that the king, the blind king, Dhritarashtra, is sitting some distance from the battlefield, and his secretary, Sanjaya, by the grace of his guru, Vyasadeva, had some of these powers, like Doordarshan and Doorshravana. So he could see and hear what Krishna and Arjuna were saying and doing on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He relayed this. He relayed their conversation to Dhritarashtra. And it was recorded, and that's the Bhagavad Gita. But he was able to do that, he says, by the mercy of his guru, Srila Vyasadeva, by whose mercy we have all the Vedic literature. It's come down to us in disciplic succession, evam parampara praptam. But Srila Prabhupada said, if we're properly hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the right source, we are actually directly hearing that sacred conversation by the mercy of Vyasadeva, by the mercy of our spiritual master, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who has presented that sacred conversation in his Bhagavad Gita as it is. And that is a kind of transcendental or mystic potency. It's one of the mysteries of devotional service, that apparently we're far distant from the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Actually, the last time I was in India, I was on a lecture tour of speaking about my book, Human Devolution. On one of the free days, I was in northern India lecturing in places like Chandigarh, Amritsar, places like that. So on one of my free days, the devotees took me to Kurukshetra, which I never had the chance to visit before. And it was a very wonderful experience to do that, to be in the place where Krishna and Arjuna had that sacred conversation, which is so important to us today. So these mystic powers are there, although they're not very well understood or recognized by modern materialistic science. So we're learning here how the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, Sanat Kumar, have come to the Vaikuntha planets by dint of their mystic yoga performance, and they see, you know, these transcendental airplanes. And this is another part of the Vedic worldview. According to, you know, what many people commonly think, they just think, if you look out into the sky, you'll see all that there is. You know, the stars and planets. And that's all there is, they believe. They're just space and matter in various configurations, stars, planets, galaxies, all just combinations of matter. I think that's all there is. But in the Vedic cosmology, we learn that there are different levels. There are things beyond, and these different levels are things beyond what we can see with our blunt material senses and scientific instruments. They're the heavenly planets. And beyond them, the Vaikuntha planets. And then beyond the Vaikuntha planets, well, among them, the highest is Goloka Vrindavan. But to see these things requires something more than a material instrument or the blunt material senses. First, we have to become Shastra Chakshush. We have to learn to see through the eyes of Shastra. And we have to practice Bhakti Yoga. And then we'll get purified senses in which it is possible to directly experience these things. We're all meant to make the same journey that the four Kumaras are. They've gone to the Vaikuntha planets. We're meant to go to the Vaikuntha planets. But that requires training. Just like astronauts. Yeah, they require some training. They have to have, you know, they put them in these special airplanes that go up and down and create a sense of weightlessness because they want them to experience what weightlessness is like. So that is what these temples are. They're training grounds for spiritual astronauts who are going to the Vaikuntha planets. And we're getting some idea here what it will be like. Also in San Diego Temple, I was once living there, and next door there was what they call a diving shop where they sold scuba diving gear. But they train people theoretically and practically, you know, how to go into this strange world of underwater life, which is different from our life on the land. So first they would give them some theoretical instruction and then some practical instruction. They would take them to a swimming pool, not to the ocean, but first to a swimming pool where they would learn what it feels like. So the same way, we're meant to go to the spiritual world, to the Vaikuntha planets, but we have to hear theoretically what it's like. And we have to get training how to function there. And that's the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to give us that training, give us that experience, so that we will be properly prepared to go there. So I'll stop there. Class normally ends at 9, so we have a few minutes for if anybody has any question or comment. Yes, the entire term.
Thank you for with us. Actually, sometime back I came across a documentary where it was shown that the scientists today, NASA specifically, they have information about these UFOs and aliens. And it was said there that that even the scientists, astronauts who went to the moon or Apollo mission, if they actually met them, like that's what is. Yeah. I mean, there's a big movement, it's called UFO movement in the West, might be like Britain. So, what is the other
So, the question has to do with the fact that even today, people observe strange demons. And this is actually a fact. You know, if you look deeply into the matter, you will see that military pilots, military officers, well-trained pilots from commercial airlines, air traffic controllers, and others have observed some of these strange craft that they call UFOs. Now, they don't appear to be Vaikuntha airplanes, you know, these things that they're observing. We have to consider, yes, we live in a multi-level cosmos. We're in one of the middle planets. There are planets below us, planets above us. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that the planets of the Rakshasas are about a few hundred yojanas above our level. And then below, you know, there are different lower planets. And then high, there are the planets of the demigods. And then beyond that, there are the Vaikuntha planets. And so in the age of Kali, because people on Earth are no longer performing the proper sacrifices, the demigods don't come here very much anymore. So, who might be coming? One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, yes, what about, are these UFOs real? Are they? He said, yes, but they're not on a mission from God. So, yes, there are some indications that some kind of imana, like I said, there are many types of imanas. You know, there are the Vaikuntha airplanes, so the airplanes of the demigods, but then there are also the airplanes of the ghostly and demoniac types of species. So, in the age of Kali, we might expect this planet is being visited by such things. Possible. Something else. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.